Inspiring girls to be all they can be is what Carmelina Blockton had in mind when she launched the Diva Sweat Girls this past March. And she joins us now along with Diva Sweat Girl Kyla Ferguson and her mom, Tammy White. Hi, welcome to all of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Carmelina, this is a dance program of sorts?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is a major at hip-hop dance program that's offered to girls all over St. Louis, ages 7 through 17.
Majorette, what does that really mean?
Well, majorette is basically a high intense step, like a marching style, originated from marching style, marching bands all over the country. But when you add hip hop, that originated from many HBCUs and historically black colleges and universities,
mm-hmm.
and it originated from their dance lines. So that's where that comes from.
I see. Kyla, how old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
I am 11 years old.
11. So that puts you in what grade?
The sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. Where do you go to school?
Berkeley Middle School.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite subjects yet?
Not yet.
That's okay. I didn't either. Did you know much about hip-hop before this, Kyla?
Not really until she introduced me to dancing.
Carmelina did?
Yes.
You didn't dance at all?
Nope.
Really? Hmm. What's the hardest part, Kyla, of being a Diva Sweat Girl?
Just knowing, like, old routines and keeping them in mind. Because
mm-hmm.
there's, like, so much. And there's, like, 8 counts, 16 counts, and there's, like, so many that you can't keep up with them.
I don't even know what that is. Tammy, what did you think, why did you think it would be a good idea for your daughter to get involved in a group like this?
I just feel like kids in general need positive reinforcement through our life. When I seen the flyer, I seen it in the store, and I just thought it was awesome because I live south and we don't have a lot of dance programs that way. So when I seen that and what it stood for, and it was all about girl empowerment and self-esteem and being healthy, that was just like, me, I wanna join, sign my daughter up for that. But I mean, she's great. I mean, she's doing it for the kids, and it's just not for the radio, but this is real. She's really doing it for the kids, and I love that.
Hmm. Carmelina, Diva Sweat Girls launched just this past March. How did all this start for you?
Well, basically, Diva Sweat originally started back in 2013. It was offered as an adult class. And after some time, I kind of looked at the need for giving the class to girls. Because as adult women, we look at, okay, we work, we got kids, we got things we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking at the community. I'm like, this girl isn't doing anything. That girl isn't doing anything. We need to get something going for the girls. So Diva Sweat was the platform for adults, but then it branched off for girls. And so that is how it got started. And so I'm like, this is a need for these girls in South City, and why not? Why not start? And so I took my chances, and during that time, I wasn't working. I wasn't working at that time. So I said, I'm going to take my chances and start it up with the girls.
Hmm.
And it was a great success.
Kyla, before this, what did you usually do with your summers?
Went swimming and stayed in the house and watched TV.
Those three things?
Yes.
So this has changed things up for you this year, I guess.
Yes, it has.
Does it keep you really busy?
Yes.
How often do you call it practice or rehearsing, or what do you call it?
I call it practice because, like, some days my friends are like, oh, you want to hang out this Saturday? I'm like, has to be after 5 because I got dance practice. They say, what about Sunday? And I say, still got dance practice. So it's time-consuming, but it's all worth it.
Mm-hmm. It's good to have a little structure as a mom. Do you see that?
I like it. I like that it keep her moving. I mean, we do summer camps and things like that, but I like that it's interactive. You get to interact. She get to interact with other kids her age. Just open her up to different experiences, make her a more well-rounded individual as she mm-hmm. grows.
So the group's for a couple of different reasons. It's for physical fitness and mental fitness, I guess you could say, right?
Yes, it is. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And how many girls participate?
Right now, we have currently 25 girls registered with the program.
And are they from any particular area?
They are from South City. I have one from North County. I think I have a couple from North City as well. I did have one from Illinois, but from all over areas.
Now, the girls are, what is it, 7 to 17?
Yes, it is.
Why'd you limit it to that?
Well, I limited it to 17 because I saw that most girls, once they reach the age of 18, most girls have jobs. They're going off to college. They're going off to do other things. So 17 was a great number to kind of stop at.
Mm-hmm. So, Kyla, 7 to 17, you're right, I guess, in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
What about those 7-year-olds? Can they dance as well as you can?
Yes, they can. They're actually a little bit better than me.
What? What do you mean?
They are really competitive, and they are hard workers, and they work just as well as the older girls do, too.
Hmm. What have you seen? I know it's only been a few short months, Tammy, but what are some of the positive things that you've seen in your daughter here?
Just her self-confidence is just went through the roof. I just keep trying to encourage her. I think as kids these days, just in general, they are really self-conscious about their body image. And just doing something like this, you just feel like you're invincible when it comes to your body and what you can do with your body. After you practice so long, your body does things that you didn't know it could do.
Kyla, were you athletic at all before this? Did you do any sports or anything?
Well, I did this thing called Girls on the Run. It was really fun, but it didn't do a lot, and we didn't do that much stuff, and it wasn't all season long, so it was just like one little short thing, and it was over with, which I didn't really like, so I wanted to join something else, and this is what I did.
Yeah, and you know, these days, I hate to say back when I was young, kids played outside a lot. These days, a lot of kids are so sedentary, don't you think?
Yeah.
So this is good to get some out of the house. Well, talk about things like building self-esteem and character and confidence. How what you do works on that?
Well, when you're talking about building self-esteem and confidence and positive attitudes, dance is, it's a sport, and it's like you have to be disciplined with that. You have to know what you're doing. And what I do is I motivate the girls. Every time that they come into class, I call it class, they call it practice. Mm-hmm. But every time they come in, I'm like, you can do this. You can do it. Don't worry if you mess up. Don't think about it. Keep going. It happens. You can do it. So it's all about me just putting forth my coaching experience and just giving them that extra push.
Kyla, how hard was it for you at first? Do you remember that first day or the first week when you were doing this? What were you thinking?
I was like, I'm nervous because there's 17-year-olds in this class and they're bigger than me, and I thought everybody had dance experience, but that wasn't true.
Right. Did you worry about what you looked like when you were moving?
Kind of, and then kind of not, because she was just like, don't worry about it. You're perfect, whatever size you are. So that was...
I bet you made a lot of friends. Did you know any of these girls before the class, or they all new people to you?
They were all new people to me.
So what are the girls like?
They're fun, and they know how to make you feel like you're part of class, and they have a lot of energy, and they help you if you have problems and stuff, and they're just awesome.
So you made like 20 new best friends all at one time.
Yes.
Kind of. That's incredible. What, I think the parents, Tammy, don't they sort of have a club of their own?
Sort of. We're trying to build it. We're trying. It's small, but with anything, you got to start off small. And so I kind of focused on that. I made it my business, kind of like push myself up to the top, because I wanted her to be able, I wanted the coach to be able to focus on the girls.
You and Kyla are both competitive, right?
Sort of, kind of, but I wanted her to be able to focus on the girls. And because it was new, you kind of need some people who was going to just kind of like break through. and help, just step up and just help. And I say, oh, yeah, we can help, and then kind of, like, fall off to the back later on. But she needed somebody that could just, like, pick up the pieces whenever she was really trying to focus on the girls. And that way she can give them all the attention and we could take care of the little small stuff. Mm-hmm.
Carmelina, do you get a chance to know the girls very well? I mean, do you talk to them about maybe personal things once in a while?
Well, I do get a chance to know them very well. As they come in, I get to know their personalities, who can do this and who can't do this. Any personal issues, I'm always open to talk to them about anything that may be going on. But as far as the dance, we are strictly kind of on dance and building their self-esteem and confidence.
Well, Kyla, can you tell me, give me an example of one of the dances you do. Can you describe one to me?
Yeah, the very first one that I learned, and I remember this one, it's called Carliana, and it's an 8-count routine, and it's intense all at the same time, and...
Is it you think you could teach me to do? I don't mean here, but...
Yes, I could.
You really think so, huh?
Yes.
How often do you go to practice or have practice at home?
Practice almost every day, and then when I go on Saturdays and Sundays, we practice everything that we've ever learned, and we practice a little bit of new stuff all at the same time. We incorporate old dances with new dances, but a little bit of it all at the same time. It's really fun.
What are some of the events that you've performed at so far?
I've did a Ferguson Festival. I've did the May Day Parade. I think that's it.
But you've got one coming up on July 4th in Ferguson, right?
Yes.
Parade
and I have one coming up on July 12th, too.
Hmm. Fundraising is important. And are the parents involved in that, Tammy?
Yes, we actually have a fundraiser coming up on July 12th at the St. Louis Stadium from 3:30 to 6:30. The fundraiser is just to help the girls be able to pay for their trip. They're actually going to Ohio August 8th. For the first competition that they ever entered.
Tell me about that.
Well, I kind of wanted the girls to get the experience of a competition. So I kind of did my research and I said, hey, told the parents I found a competition in Cincinnati, Ohio. I think this will be a great idea to take the girls to kind of get a feel of competing for the first time because we've done a parade, we've done a festival, and let's kind of compete now. So St. Louis doesn't have a lot of majorette hip-hop competitions, so I found one in Cincinnati, Ohio, so we said, let's do it. So we wanted to raise funds, that way parents won't have to come out of their pockets so much to mm-hmm. help fund the trip.
So you're going to have the fundraiser at the Stadium?
Yes.
On July the 12th, you're going to be in the Ferguson July 4th parade on Saturday, 10 a.m., I think. Are you ready for that? Do you have it all down?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes. Actually, this might seem surprising, but with Miss Carmelina as being our teacher, she makes things look hard, but as she goes to teach us it, it's really easy.
Is she pretty tough, though?
I might not want to say that.
I mean tough in a good way.
Yes.
Right. All right. Well, we wish you the best of luck. If people would like more information, we will have information about your group and any young woman to be eligible to join.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape and we'll have information on that. We want to thank Carmelina Blockton, the founder and director of the Diva Sweat Girls, and Tammy White, who's here. She brought her daughter, Kyla Ferguson, along. Just a couple last questions, Kyla. What's the most fun of being a Diva Sweat Girl?
Going to parades, festivals, competitions, everything.
And tell me the truth about something. Do you sweat a lot?
Yes. Like sometimes people are like, I go from like dance practice to like somebody's house and be like, oh hi. I'd be like, no, you don't want to give me a hug. No, don't give me a hug.
Well, that just means that you were dedicated. You worked very hard.
You're doing your job.
Yep.
Well, keep up the good work. Keep sweating.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much, Diva Sweat Girls. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
And now, commentator Nancy Kranzberg shares these thoughts about the power of the arts to respond to issues such as the Ferguson tragedy.
As we approach that fateful day in August when the Ferguson tragedy took place, I am again reminded of the power of the arts. On a recent trip to Japan, our guide told us of the Maeda clan, rulers in the city of Kanazawa in the 16th century, and how they turned from the sword to using the arts and culture to reunite and heal Japan after 150 years of civil war. Back home, some of the reactions to the Ferguson situation expressed through the arts were incredibly moving and powerful. Some art projects were actually begun before August 9th. Part of a Washington University project entitled The Divided City, an Urban Humanities Initiative, with the generous support of the Mellon Foundation, the Center for the Humanities, in partnership with the College and Graduate School of Architecture and Urban Design, has launched a 4-year Urban Humanities Initiative on the Divided City. The goal is to bring humanities scholars into productive interdisciplinary dialogue with architects, urban designers, landscape architects, legal scholars, sociologists, geographers, cartographers, and others around one of the most persistent and vexing issues in urban studies, segregation. The St. Louis Art Museum featured in their current exhibition Brooklyn-based Mariam Ghani, who has a fellowship at Washington University. The Ferguson protest in October happened to coincide with her time here, and she is producing a short film for the museum based loosely on the noir novel The City in the City by China Melville. Part of the film, a fictional narrative with elements, is drawn from St. Louis's past and present. Part takes place in Kinloch, which is close to Ferguson and has had many similar issues. Susan Colangelo also began her project, St. Louis Story Stitchers, before August 9th. The Story Stitchers is an artist collective dedicated to documenting St. Louis through art and word to promote understanding, civic pride, intergenerational relationships, and literacy. They produce artworks, projects, publications, and public forums that make visible the spirit and experience of the people. I saw one of the multidisciplinary performances about Tilly's Corner, an African-American market founded by an incredible woman, Lily Pearson, and was only recently torn down. The family pulled old videos and photos, and high schoolers and family members stitched together quite a story for a performance at the Kranzberg. Cecilia Nadal's Gitana Productions, whose motto is Global Healing Through the Arts, recently put on a production entitled Black and Blue by Lee Patton Childs. The original play was about hope and healing, exploring assumptions that all black men are dangerous and that all cops are bad. The play was performed at several venues, including the Missouri History Museum and the St. Louis Community College at Florissant Valley, and was free due to the importance of the play for St. Louis. I attended an incredible morning at McClure High School in Ferguson in May. Over the last several months, Norlene Nosri, a clay artist in residence at Craft Alliance Center of Art and Design, has worked with the students, faculty, and staff to bring the event to life. A small and dedicated team of student designers crafted the clay bases which held the porcelain cups which we drank from. The cups displayed the hopes, dreams, and wishes of the entire student body, inscribed by the students themselves. It is the hope of all those involved that the art-making experience will help aid in the healing of the community and the students who call it home. The event was entitled Community. The arts community in St. Louis is thriving and really cares about pulling it all back together and working on our problems. I, for one, have all the faith in the world that the arts are our saving grace. I'm Nancy Kranzberg.
Nancy Kranzberg has been involved in the arts community for some 30 years on numerous arts-related boards. And next week on Cityscape, we're going to remember the life and career of jazz pianist Ray Kennedy, who passed away on May 28th. And as Max and Louis Productions opens its fifth season with the St. Louis premiere of the dark comedy, The Killing of Sister George, we'll talk with the principals. Join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he'll talk with members of the organization Better Marriages about how couples can improve their communication skills and strengthen their marriages. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. Also at stlpublicradio.org, you can find a list of free summer concerts in the area. We'd like to note one of those. The Gateway Festival Orchestra begins its 52nd season with a program titled Red, White, and Blue. That's 7:30 Sunday night in Washington University's Brookings Quadrangle. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Evita Caldwell, Aaron Dorr, and Anya O'Connor. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening.